Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. I've got to keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. I can't stop now.
Hello, world. This is Blair Blanco, aka Blair White, and I am doing a very special Leaders of the New, which is my normally every Wednesday radio show on WSUM, but I'm doing a very special project for AfroWM 671, Civil Rights and Soul Music, and I have the pleasure of doing a project. I'm going to ask a couple of questions and about music and focus on civil rights as well as soul music, but more of the music aspect. I have a lot of questions I want to get answered or just talk about, not really get answers, but discuss. But I have a very special guest in the studio with me. He's an amazing writer, performer, poet, educator, just everything. And I'm very happy to have him on the show because we have so many discussions on about music all the time that it was only necessary for me to finally record one. So Welcome, Danesse Smith.
Hey, how you doing there? Hello, hello.
Hi. I'm great. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Being a part of this project. We're going to start with more of a gospel impulse and start off with Precious Lord by Aretha Franklin, recorded in 1968. No, oh. This was way earlier. Oh my gosh, I'll be back with the date. You could tell this is a real radio show. but I'll be back with that. But I wanted to match that with BJ the Chicago Kid and his song with Kendrick Lamar. BJ the Chicago Kid is from Chicago, tells in his name. But Kendrick Lamar, he is a rapper who is coming up pretty quickly. He signed with Aftermath with Dr. Dre, and he's a very, very passionate artist that we haven't really heard in the hip-hop scene in a very long time. He's from Compton, but this song is a gospel song. I don't really look at it. It's hip-hop nonetheless, but gospel, that's the whole feel that it gives off. But here is Aretha Franklin with Precious Lord, and then BJ Chicago Kid featuring Kendrick Lamar with His Pain off of the 2012 album Pineapple Now and Laters.
Cause I've got my strength, don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
Ain't no harm no more. Yesterday, my nigga had told me his brother died. A day before that, his homeless uncle was cold outside. A week before, he seen the cancer in his mother's eyes. 2 weeks before that, couldn't pay his rent cause he lost his job. A month before that, he lost the custody of his daughter. 6 months before that, her mother said she won't see her father. And this before he did a year when them charges was brought up. I shook my head, turned around and found $100. I don't know why he keep blessing me. 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 I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why. Keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Yesterday I invaded privacy of a home. The day before that, my partner had fronted me a zone. A week before, I had loaded bullets inside that chrome. 2 weeks before that, I shot them bullets and he was gone. A month before that, I cursed my mother, then slammed the door. 6 months before that, I hit my woman, she hit the floor. I stormed out, then seen a black Honda Accord. Them hollow tips missed me, then hit that little boy. I don't know why he keep blessing me. 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 I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why he keep blessing me. 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 I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. So today I laid in my bed, stared at the ceiling. Closed my eyes, then asked myself how I was feeling. I analyzed on how a saint can play the villain. Is my life coincidental or just God willing? I came to grips, jumped up, looked out the window. See my nigga had that same little boy that didn't know. Bullets is nameless, I guess this was meant for me to give them $100, then trash my pistol. Nah, why you keep why keep blessing me? Nah, no, why keep blessing me? Nah, no, why keep blessing me? Nah, no, why? Now, no, why? Now, no, why? Nah, no, why keep blessing me? 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 Nah, no, why? Now I know why. So I can bless you. So I can bless you. So I can bless you.
Lord, help me, 'cause I need you. I know this weed is burning and I'm on drink number two, but it's all to soothe the pain from this cold, cold world. Sometimes I think it could help me, but this buzz here is temporary, so I'm talking to you. This sick world I drive, I sing me crazy.
Dead birds dropping out,
daughters having their father's babies. And this the news I hear, with my godkids, nieces and nephews turning year. I wonder will it get better, a little chatter. Will it get better? Fuck the risk of fast cash, make last year's Christmas gift be my bag.
But somehow you keep blessing me.
But somehow you keep blessing me. But somehow you keep blessing me. But somehow you keep blessing me. But somehow, but somehow, but somehow.
But somehow you keep blessing me.
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 But somehow, but somehow, but somehow.
Danger seen and unseen.
This is the way I feel. once more.
This is
three guys shot after the club.
What's going on? This is Blair White here, leaders of the new very special edition, as I stated at the beginning of the show, for AfroWham 671, Civil Rights and Soul Music, who was led by Craig Warner, Professor Craig Warner. And I really appreciate the course, and I can't wait to talk about the music and what we just heard. And as I said before, I have a special guest, Danette Smith.
Hello, hello.
Who's here to discuss the music with me. So, yeah.
Let's discuss.
We just heard His Pain by BJ the Chicago Kid featuring Kendrick Lamar. That song samples the song by James Brown called Sunny. So, interesting fact. And I think it's very appropriate because the James Brown song, I listened to it today, is like very, it talks about having darker days and then finally having this light in your life. So, hence the title Sunny.
Come on, Jimmy.
So, Danette Smith, do you have anything you want to talk about? Oh, let me mention, also we played Aretha Franklin, Precious Lord, Part 2. That song's only, this is not even 3 minutes long. Two minutes and 52 seconds long.
And half of it's humming.
And half of it's humming and half, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. What really reminds me of that song, I grew up in a church. My grandfather is a pastor, and they do like these hymns called Dr. Watts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of layers of just harmonizing and humming. And it really reminds me of that. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you understand.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, let's get into the interview. Is there anything you want to say about the songs?
Yeah, because I was listening to the Aretha Franklin song, and I was all up in, you know, my Aretha, how she just, you know, she can talk about the Lord, she can. But then I was listening to Kendrick Lamar and BJ the Chicago Kid's song, and those are two artists right now that I see as being a little bit more on the conscious revolutionary side. And it just got me thinking about how all these years later, you will never be able to separate Black culture and Black revolution from God and the church. It's all these years later, and you know, the church was the most powerful mechanism in the civil rights movement, the most powerful institution that was, you know, providing a voice and a platform and a strategy and a home for Black people. And still in this day, even though you might not see the ties quite as strong as they were, as they are maybe as necessary as they were back then, but you still can't separate that need for religion and revolution for Black people to be in the same space. They're still so intertwined.
That's such a great point. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. And like you said, because times have changed, generations have changed, and the nation has changed, there has been, you know, hasn't necessarily been like a very visual call, as we would see as families. Well, Black families still go to church and things like that, but just the generation, especially like younger people, teenagers to our age, like that's still that need. And I'm very happy that BJ Chicago Kid and Kendrick Lamar put out a song like this, because like, they might not be huge artists yet, but because of media and social networking sites and things like that and blogs, this is the music that people, that young people that have Tumblr are listening to, you know, that they click on. Like, they see Kendrick Lamar's name. They see BJ the Chicago Kid's name, and this is what they are hearing. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's important, too, to like, for artists to have their roots. You know, Aretha Franklin became a secular artist, but had a lot of her roots in gospel, so, you know, Kendrick Lamar does blow up one day. We go back, we find these songs. Kanye West on his first CD at Jesus Walks. You know, there's all these things. I think, like, Black artists are always reminding us of our ties to the church. But then I was just thinking about, like, Black politics, too. Like, Obama the other day came out in support of gay marriage, and the question the next day was, is the Black church going to turn against him? And I just started thinking about, like
I had that thought
so
as well,
too.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't really speak about that or talk about that, but I was just going to see, like, how people are really, or even the black population is going to take that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're very... I'm African American, and Denez, you're black, African American. So it's just like there's always in media is depicted as black people being against gay rights, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just interesting to see like what type of support Obama's gonna get, like even from like hip hop, mm-hmm. you know, like so many artists and people involved in hip hop. Are, you know, so attached to Obama and mm-hmm. his message, but it's just like, this is something that we talk about in our music, but I hope this is not getting off topic. No. this is interesting.
I think it's all on topic.
Okay.
But no, it's really interesting to talk about. You know, is hip-hop even going to talk about something like that? And it's crazy because, I don't know, it's a really interesting question just because we're so tied to our faith. As a community, even if you don't identify as Christian in the black community, you still have some of those ties to the church because mm-hmm. it's so ingrained in our history and still is.
For sure.
Kendrick Lamar talks about on a lot of other songs about, you know, that the fact that he doesn't go to church. But mm-hmm. that's how strong the ties to the church are in the black community is
for
that
sure.
even for people who don't go, we still feel it mm-hmm. like, you know, they still feel a tie. And still feel that like kind of longing and that call for that community. And that's really, you know, where our black revolution has come, you know, in the small ways that it manifests itself all the time. A lot of ways it's always tied to faith in a lot of ways, you know.
And this is an interesting topic. And we were talking about, let's backtrack a little bit. We're talking about like music or like what's hip hop going to do or music in general is going to do. To support Obama, but let's mm-hmm. just take it further and make it a little bit broader. This is my first question I really have. Mm-hmm. Do you think that music has the ability to create change socially and politically?
Do I think it has? I think it has the ability. That's complicated because uh-huh. it's like, I feel like music is often a reaction to something.
Okay.
And not necessarily the catalyst for it, you know?
Okay.
At least as I've experienced music. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard a song that made me aware of something that I wasn't already aware of. It might have just been the first time I heard it vocalized by somebody of a certain level
yeah.
or heard it communicated back to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's also a powerful thing.
For sure.
But I feel like music oftentimes is like, no, I don't know, because there have been some powerful songs throughout history.
I feel this is a very loaded question, I have to say, mm-hmm. but, you know, just had to get the conversation
yeah.
popping off. But I do feel like, well, let me. So in this course, Afro-Rum 671, and in black music in general, we talk about the call and response.
Mm-hmm.
And so the call, you send out a call and mm-hmm. then there's a response to the call. Very simple, right? So do you feel like, I feel like it's interchangeable in some aspects.
So music is the call and the response.
Yes, music okay. can be the call and the response. Because we can be, there can be a call from something that's happening in the nation that's a part of news and music can be the response to that. Or music can send out, you know, a call for other people to respond to. Like, we can even use the example of the BJ Chicago Kid song. Maybe it is sending a call to or showing young black America, you know, in this time, in a time of need, you know, in a time of urgency, living in an impoverished city, you know? And we are supposed to respond to that because this is what this person is calling out, you know, if that makes sense. So
it makes sense. It makes sense. I think. But I question that type of call then, you know, because then it's like I feel like. You know, people have been making sad songs for a long time, you know, songs that are about the human experience and the struggle. But I feel like what we hear a lot less of today is a call for the change, you know, or a call for unity. Or calls for upliftment. I feel like they come few and far between and we like them for a week, but you know, they're not chart toppers. They're not things that we hear all the time, maybe with the exception of things that, you know, like Born This Way by Lady Gaga, but I'm talking about black music specifically, in which in today's standards, I would define largely as hip hop. I feel like we don't hear a lot of those same calls for like unity and change and progress. I feel like those come from other realms, but not the music that young Black America is seeped in today. Because prior to, it was seeped in soul. And it was, you know, the beginnings of R&B and stuff like that. And so young Black America really had a pulse to it. But I feel like now it's a lot less of that. I'm not saying it's not out there at all.
For sure.
And when it is out there, it's not even what's most heavily marketed and pushed towards us.
Exactly. And what I find interesting about hip-hop or rap music is that it started off as a music for the people to party and have fun. You know, it was at Black parties. It was emceeing, just saying random stuff as a person DJs and, you know, scratches the record, things like that. And it began and it grew into something that Latinos and young Black youth, you know, used as something that was fun, but also used it as an outlet to tell about where they're from, you know, and their struggles and things like that, which, you know, definitely brought the eye to hip hop. But it's just like, how can we really dictate or say what is given to us as listeners? You know, how can we have that control? Because it's like, for me, as a listener, I do enjoy, yes, that kickback music that I can chill and listen to. But I also want something that's not going to bash me or break me down as a person, a woman, as a being. So it's just, how can you control that? And so that brings me to my question. So it's just like, how can the audience of listeners push for music that is more politically sound, more socially sound?
I think that becomes a being smart buyers, you know? Of what we support, of even what we download, because in this age where music is selling less and less, stuff that gets a lot of downloads is still is what's really popping. And so, but I mean, I agree. I enjoy my chill stuff. I like my ignorant music. You know, I like my Jeezy just as much as anybody else.
Obama does too.
Obama does too. Apparently, great clip. Like, gotta love that. But I also feel that hip hop gained a lot of responsibility that it didn't mean to have.
It started off
as a genre, as this thing that was so offset and kind of like this new thing, and it was a baby. But then hip hop became the music of a people. And I say that because, like, even though I'm not saying that all Black music is hip hop now, but all Black music nowadays is for sure influenced by hip-hop. R&B has moved closer and closer to hip-hop. Gospel is moving closer and closer to hip-hop, and the way that it sounds and the way that people talk and just the whole texture to everything. And so when it became the music of our people in a really undeniable way, it gained a lot of responsibility to also take care of our people as much as it tells our people to have fun. You know, have fun, do what you got to do, but once you become the music of a culture, then you have a lot of responsibility to also have that, to nurture that culture and like to better themselves, you know? And so I feel like that's what we have to do as like buyers and just participants in the culture, is make it aware that that's what we want, and not supporting everything that comes out that's, you know, maybe good, but it's like, do we really need to add more and more of the same and the same to this pot? When we're realizing that we are in dire need of a balance.
That's very true. And I also feel like it's to a point where the music is out of the control of what the people want. Because it's like, we can talk about like what we can support, and I totally agree with that point. But it became a time where it's just like, when Black music, as I heard in this class, Civil Rights and Soul Music, the music was like good, and it was by Black people, you know, and not necessarily for Black people at all. But it's just like, I feel like music now on the radio, I feel like the target is to get everybody just hooked on it. And that's it. And that's something that I also learned in this class, that, you know, record labels like Motown, they were tailoring every artist that they had, you know, to be the money making,
like, crossover,
you know, crossover sensation, you know? So, sorry, I'm trying to get back to my point, but it's just, I feel like it's to a point where the people sometimes don't even have a control over what we are listening to. I can hear a song on the radio and be like, I hate that song. But next week, I bet you I'll be singing it just because that's what's seen on TV. That's what's on, you know, on these commercials. That's what's being played everywhere. That's what the little kids walking down the street are singing. You know, so it's just like, how
do you think we've lost a little bit of our independence in our music? Like, you know, has it moved too much towards like major label stuff like that?
That's very interesting because I'm just thinking of just like the history that I've learned, like in this Afro-M class, and I've learned in other Afro-M classes I've took, like the 80s, they were bringing up artists that were superstars. So you had like Michael Jackson, you had Prince, you had Madonna, things like that. But I feel like now it's like we still have those super mega artists like Beyonce and things like that. But it's just, I just feel like it's so much more disposable. It's like, I made this point in this course that we had that it doesn't really matter who's really singing the song now because you're not going to remember. You know, like a year from now, you're not going to remember Fergie's number one single.
No.
You know, sorry, not to use her and bash her music or use her as an example, but it's just,
Yeah. I mean, I would listen to the radio the other day. It's like you don't listen to the radio for like a week or two and there's something completely, there's a whole new roster. And it's like, who is this? And I mean, frankly, to me, a lot of the people sound the same.
They sound exactly the same with a dubstep beat.
You know, and that's like the latest thing. You know, now we have dubstep beats and now, you know, for a while everything was auto-tune, still is. And so now music is about following the trend and like saying what's hot. And I guess, you know, there was some of that. Back in the day, disco was something that everybody caught on to, you know, after a while. Everybody had some disco tracks. And so I don't think it's ever been absent from our music history, but I think it's the string of pure commercialism has really lasted a long time without having a really good counter narrative. We don't even, there's very few artists that are viewed in the same light as like even like activists and stuff like that as they are nowadays. I'm still think like, yeah, I don't feel like I know too many music artists that like I would view in the same light as people might have viewed, you know, celebrities like Sidney Poitier or Aretha Franklin and Lena Horne and all those folks back in the day who were really doing active work in the community.
For sure. I think we should get back into some more music.
Word.
So next we're about to play Window Seat by Erykah Badu off of her 2010 album, New America Part 2, Return of the Unk. And we're pairing that with Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, from the album The Dock of the Bay, 1968. And it was just interesting because I was like, oh man, I wonder what music I should pair up. And it's just, we just kind of had this conversation just like, oh, what could we match up that's from now and from the time period of where this class was? Do you have anything you want to say? Because I was like, oh, Dinez, what song should I match up with Erykah Badu's Window Seat? And you're like, oh, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. So is there any reason that you wanted to pair those up together?
Yeah, or? I just thought that the two made sense because they both really speak to solitude in a way. And I think that's a part of Black consciousness is like, our solitude, you know, so they're both kind of an outcry for needing some time to think and maybe not even wanting that time to think in Otis Redding's case, but they both are, you know, just that stream of consciousness kind of, I need my space thing.
So, yeah. And I also, I read it as like, I need my space, but it's just like, what do you need your space from? Do you need your space from your family? Like not most likely, but maybe you need your space from institutions that try, you know, that try to lock you down in a sense that try
come on, preach.
You know that you're always trying to fit into, you know, so it's just finding that solitude and having that time for self. And I really listen to like Erykah Badu's Window Seat. I think of it kind of as a gospel impulse as well. It's just like I need somebody, it's just like I need to go. And just the fact that she's in movement, you know, if she's in transit going somewhere, it just reminds me of like gospel song like Swing Low Sweet Chariot coming forth to carry me home. So it's just going somewhere.
Steal away to Jesus.
Steal away to Jesus. So it's just that sense of movement and spirituality and sense of self. So here's Window Seat by Erykah Badu and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding.
Nobody. sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. Tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting
What's going on, Blair White here. I was going to say my other name. Blair Blanco is usually my DJ name, so that's where I got the confusion from. But this is a very special edition of Leaders of the New. We're doing this for Afro-AM 671, Civil Rights and Soul Music. We're just here talking about music, playing a little bit of music that we heard in the class, as well as some music I wanted to match up with and do a kind of a comparison. Contrast of from music from this generation and music that we listen to in the class. Like I said before, Dinez Smith is in the studio with me.
Still here, y'all.
He's still here talking music with me, and I'm very grateful to have you in here because you're making some excellent points. But let's talk about what we just heard. Right now, you are actually hearing I Got the Feeling, James Brown, joint we listen to in class. And before that, you heard, or we were playing during the breaks, Keep On Pushing, The Impressions. Two great songs. Mm. And I just hate to be talking over James Brown. I feel so disrespectful. I really do. Just like, you can't talk over James Brown. But anyway, you just heard Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding, 1968, I believe. Let me check my paper. Yes, from the album The Dock of the Bay. And we paired that with Erykah Badu, Window Seat, from her 2010 release, New America Part 2, Return of the Unk. Do you want to have anything? We kind of said a piece before we played, though, so let's keep it. Let's keep it moving, keep it popping.
Yeah. So I had a question there.
Yes, Dinez Smith wanted to pose a question. So
So my question is the lack of decline in like social and political issues in the music that is popular representative of the decline that the people care about social and political issues? Is it less of a big deal nowadays? Or is it so like, is it kind of the music reflecting us, or are we reflecting the music?
Or the music.
Yeah.
Wow, that's such an interesting question. So, like I mentioned before, call and response. So I feel like this is an interesting question because it's like if the Black community or the community in general is not sending out a call for the need for a response with music that is politically and socially sound, put that in quotes, however, take it how you want to take it, then how, like you said, I'm rephrasing the question pretty much. Yeah. But so it's just like how do we get that music then? So is it just kind of just like, should we just forget about progressing, period? Should we not put out music that, you know, is reflective and congratulates achievement, you know? Like I just thinking of Nina Simone, her song To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. You know, it's not really, it's like, it's a song that has a positive, you know, outlook. It's not necessarily, it's talking about Black excellence, but it's not necessarily like a call for the need to, you know, it's just kind of really saying what's there. But, okay. Sorry, is there anything you want
to
say?
Well, I guess to me, I was just like thinking like it becomes a call and response of energy that you're putting out there, you know?
For sure.
So call and response doesn't actually have to be an actual call, but just what you're putting out there and what the people are giving you back. And so, you know, I was just started thinking like what would happen if the radio was just flooded with songs about progress and with songs about change and with like positive,
how would that reflect the community? Yeah. For sure. I'm guessing it would have to be a positive effect, you know? It's so many kids, rap music I think of now, I refer to rap music a lot because that's what I know and that's what I love, so that's where the discussion is always headed to a certain extent. But I have to say, it's just like in music now, it's like talking about like, it's talking about hustle, so, you know, talking about it's materialistic as hip-hop has always been, but it's just kids walking around, it's like their songs tatch a whole body up. It's kids that are like 14 with tattoos all over their body. You know? Jay-Z said, throw on a button-up shirt, be respected. That's what people did, you know? So
I wore a button-up shirt.
So it's just how, like, if we did put, you know, more politically, like more messages that are upliftment, you know, for youth, even if it's materialistic, even if it's to change your appearance, like how is that going to be reflective on the community? So it's very interesting to think of the positives that could happen, you know, within that. But we also have to remember how music and media is constantly controlled. You know, it's like we can ask an artist, you know, want an artist to put out music that is for our community. But like, let's look at the case of Lupe Fiasco, a MC from Chicago. Very politically sound, very outspoken, you know, to say the least. And his last album, he was told by the record execs that he has to do a song this particular way. You know, he has to say this in a song. It has to be a song for the women on here. It has to be a song for respect. It has to be a song about getting money on here. You know, and he, as an artist who was very outspoken, very for the people, you know, honestly shut down and just said, you know, this project called Lasers, it was supposed to be like, we are not losers, we're lasers, trying to take the theme that he always had of uplifting the people and turning his message all the way around. So I feel like we do have those artists that are looking to change music and do certain things, but it's just the control and the people that have the money to put out or give the publicity to the media. It's just they control it, so it's honestly disheartening to a certain extent because it's like maybe our people and our communities are wanting this music, you know, and artists are wanting to put out this music. But there's this huge higher being, middleman, that nobody knows the name of that's, you know, telling us what we are and what we aren't, you know, and what we can't be. So it's very interesting.
That's real. And then I think that's because, we've lost. We mentioned it earlier. Losing our independence in our music, you know? There's not as many individual radio stations before, you know? There is a really big culture in independent hip-hop and just independent labels, but you also need access to certain things. You know, you need computer and internet access to really have access to a lot of that thing. If you're, you know, just kicking it, if you're a student in America that's just chilling and you have access to what you hear on the radio. You know, I didn't grow up in a house with internet access, so music I knew was what I heard on the radio.
For sure.
And that was powerful. Like, that's what I knew. And there was all this music that I just didn't have access to. So if my only way of getting music is what is readily available and easily put at my fingertips and all of that is Clear Channel, then that's a very dangerous thing.
Exactly. that's a very dangerous and scary thing, you know?
Yeah. You know, because what are you teaching about even, like, choice? Mm-hmm. You know, when every radio station sounds alike, then you don't even know what you really like. You just know what's out there.
For sure.
You know? And that becomes a very powerful tool of controlling people, too. I don't think it's fair to not connect the two.
Exactly. I feel like some people are always like, well, the music's out there. You just need to search for it. And like you said, people don't have those outlets to search for it.
Or don't know where to start searching.
Or don't know where to start searching because now music is everywhere. iTunes, you can have a song in 3 seconds. And sent a notification like, you just paid so-and-so amount for this music.
But also you need to pay.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a classist thing, too.
Or you can just go on the internet and search something, but how do you know who to search for if you're listening to the radio?
Yep.
There's no outlet. Nobody telling you what artist is going to tell, you know? Oh, it's so interesting. And it's honestly very frightening for me. You know, as a person that loves and enjoys and listens to music all the time, and I'm one of those people, I do have the outlet and, you know, the time and the money to spend on, you know, enjoying music, you know, to a certain extent. But how can I, you know, as a listener, change what other people are listening to? So that's very interesting. Is there any other questions you wanted to pose at all?
Let's listen to another song.
Okay, for sure.
We'll be talking.
I know. That's great. That's great. So we're going to go to another matchup. This matchup has The Roots featuring Dice Raw. And this is off of Undone. Album that came out last year, December, came out in December of 2011. And the album depicts a life of Stephen Redford, like a fictional character that The Roots created. And it kind of tells his life. And he grows up in, I think, Philadelphia.
Yeah, definitely Philadelphia.
Impoverished. The Roots represent Philadelphia. Impoverished street hustler, and just kind of talks about the rise and fall of this character. And this song that we're going to play, Tip the Scale, it really just kind of shows how young black youth or young youth in America, how they're still trying to reach this change. And so I paired it up with A Change is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, who the song was released in 1965, and how he was just wishing for that change to come, you know, or he's proclaiming it, you know, and the song kind of mirrors that in, I don't know, very opposites. Do you want to talk anything?
No, you just told that.
Say anything about that?
No, you just
okay,
told
great.
That.
Well, let's get into it. The Roots featuring Dice Raw would Tip the Scale off of Undone, and A Change is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, 1965.
I'm a side of suicide, heads and tails. Some think life is a living hell. Some live life just living well. I live life trying to tip the scale my way. My way. My way. My way. Yo, I'm always early. I never take off. 'Cause I got a job,
bribe Peter to pay Paul. Now I realize it's the winner that takes all. Do what I gotta do, because I can't take loss. Picture me living life as if I'm some animal that consumes his own dreams like I'm a cannibal. I won't accept failure unless it's mechanical, but still the alcohol mixed with the botanical. I guess I be referred to the owner's manual full of loners, full of all the homeless, throwaways and the stoners, soldiers of the streets with eighth grade diplomas, and the world awaiting their shoulders as a bonus. Look, let he without sin live without sin. Until then, I'll be doing dirty jobs like swamp men, counting the faces of those that I might have been. It's like living that life, but I won't live that life again.
Homicide, suicide, heads and tails, something like is living hell. Some live life, just living well. I live life, trying to tip the scale my way. My way. My way. My way.
A lot of niggas go to prison. How many come out Malcolm X? I know I'm not. Shit, can't even talk about the rest. Famous last words, you under arrest. Will I get popped tonight? It's anybody's guess, I guess. Nigga need to stay cunning, I guess. When the cops coming, need to start running. I won't make the same mistakes from my last running. You either done doing crime now or you done in. I got a brother on the run and one in. Wrote me a letter, he said, when you coming? Shit, man, I thought the goal's to stay out. Back against the wall, to shoot your way out. Getting money's a style that never plays out. Till you win a box in your stash, money's paid out. The scales of justice ain't equally weighed out. Only two ways out, digging tunnels or digging graves out.
Homicide, suicide, heads and tails. Some think life is a living hell. Some live life just living well.
I go to the movie and I go Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down.
Back on Leaders of the New, very special edition for Afro-M 671.
Hallelujah.
Civil Rights and Soul Music. Yeah, you just heard A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, 1965. Just want to make sure I got my dates correct.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you heard Tip the Scale from The Roots off of Undone, featuring Dice Raw. Can't forget him. He had an amazing verse. Yeah, that album is from 2011. And right now you are listening to a live version of How I Got Over by The Roots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I want to say thank you. This is the end of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you to Dedez
Thanks
Smith
for having me.
For
this was
coming
a pleasure.
Through and having an amazing conversation, which I hope continues.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this room of into course. Other circles, you know, because that's how you create change, right? Networking.
Come
you
on
know?
Now.
Let people know. Is there anything that you want to say? Anything that you want to wrap up on? A point that you want to bring up?
Thank you for having me. And whoever's ears is live pod, let's make music that inspires. Yeah,
for sure.
Know. Yeah.
Let's create music that inspires and support music that
let's
inspires.
Let's make music wanna inspire.
You know?
I don't know.
Everything. And let's have fun because that's what it is, right?
Hey, shake it. All
right. So this was Leaves of the New with Blair White for Afro-M 671 Civil Rights and Soul Music. Yeah, so let's keep inspiring and stay classy.
And I swear it isn't fair. In suspended animation, we ain't trying to go nowhere. I mean, these streets, every man is on his own. We ain't even old enough to realize we're all alone. I mean, these ghost streets, where it's like they lost their mind. Is there any way to find? Are we running out of time? I hear. Listen, hey, who's worried? Running out, running around in these streets, out in the streets, yeah.
get some help.